following is a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCAST.com. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 202, a Galactic Network podcast. And I have to say, I have a tendency of actually saying zero instead of O, just because of my years of working customer service. I was always told to use the actual numbers as opposed to letters for numbers like O, because maybe they might think it's an actual O. So for clarification, this is episode 202. I am Anessa Muyens, along with the lovely Brad Ludwig.
I got my hair did. I am dead sexy.
Duh. And that said, thanks to Monkey Warhol for providing our intro music. It's a song called Alien Syndrome, and you can find it at soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol. This is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their first, second, third, all appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and in real life.
In the news.
Knocking in space.
Knocking.
Knock, knock, knock.
Booch.
Literal knocking. Oh. Like knock, knock, knock. Who is it? Aliens.
Aliens. Aliens who?
Just aliens.
You gotta push your hair up.
It's aliens. Oh, yeah. Aliens. All right. So the Chinese Space Agency is ready to take on the international stage when it comes to space explorations. But is China ready to meet alien life? Whew. Some Chinese astronauts said they've heard mysterious knocking sounds in space. Another wave of speculations about alien life surfaced just when a Chinese astronaut claimed that he heard mysterious knocking and banging sounds in space during his flight in 2003. Yang Luai is the first Chinese astronaut to reach space, and he recounts his first flight to space was clouded with mystery. In a recent interview, Yang, I really don't know how to say the last name, Liu Wei, I'm going to go with that, Liu Wei, said that the sound is similar to a hammer hitting a metal surface. During his mission to space, the astronaut claims that the sound appears and disappears constantly throughout the mission. A non-casual situation I have met in space is a knock that appeared from time to time, Yang Liu Wei said in a TV guesting in China, according to IB Times. It neither came from outside nor inside the spaceship, but sounded like someone is knocking the body of the spaceship just as knocking on an iron bucket with a wooden hammer, Yang Liu Wei added. His claim was supported by another unnamed Chinese astronaut who was with him during the mission. The now senior general and former astronaut also allegedly tried to inspect the source of the mysterious knocking sound to no avail. The sounds disappeared when Liu Wei returned to Earth, according to the Daily Star, which makes sense because he's not here to hear them anymore. I'm just making that observation. The sounds disappeared because I was no longer there to hear them. Ta-da!
Ta-da!
And, in a surprising twist, astronauts who reached space after Yang Liu Wei also claimed to have heard the sound during their mission aboard the Shenzhou 6 and Shenzhou 7, but Liu Wei already warned his colleagues about the mysterious sound. Before entering space, I have told them that the sound is a normal phenomenon, so there is no need to worry, said Liu Wei in the same report. Okay, so the sound did continue, but it makes sense that he wouldn't hear it anymore because he's not there to hear it. Alright, so because of the bizarre nature of the sound, some suggest that it could be a sound of an alien, according to Express News. But in a non-believer's point of view, it could be part of the spacecraft constantly hitting the other, but no one can tell for sure until the origin of the sound is identified. But up to this day, the first Chinese astronaut is not expecting to find the source of the mysterious sound. He claims to have tried to recreate the banging sound, but did not succeed. Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. Twice on the pipe, ding, ding, if the answer is no. That's what came to mind.
That's true. I could see that. So were the aliens trying to get some? Is that what you're trying to imply with that little...
I'm seeing maybe they were really big fans of Tony Orlando.
But not Dawn.
No. I don't know.
Okay, kids, there was this group, and it was... Never mind. Google it. Oh, I would be interested to... I mean, with it being so cold in space... And it has to be warmer inside the capsule, obviously. I wonder if there's some kind of disparity with a temperature difference between the interior and the exterior, that maybe it's causing something to expand and contract, and that's creating the banging noise. I wonder.
I do. Maybe they really hate the rest of the group. They're like, screw you, Don. It's all about the Tony Orlando. I don't know.
Well, there could be that too.
I do think it's something that's there within the ship that just keeps occasionally clinking as everything adjusts, because, you know, they are traveling at a high rate of speed. I imagine nothing is exactly constant, so yeah. Things are bound to change.
Absolutely.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966. 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Follow this Galactic Network podcast on Twitter, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Find us by searching for Galactic Network on all the major social networks or click on the icons at gncast.com.
UFO attack. Turkey experiences shocking mass UFO sighting.
Bum, bum, bum.
Yeah, I don't have my soundboard up. Otherwise, I'd put that up. A fleet of mysterious aircrafts hovering over the skies of Turkey on November 27th has prompted a mass panic. A video of the incident was posted on YouTube by user SecureTeam10, and most of the internet agreed that it could be a cluster of UFOs. This year has been filled with massive UFO sightings, and the event in Turkey is the latest addition. The uploader said, "We had a fleet of these unknown lights that were appearing in multiple cities across the country of Turkey, causing mass panic for many people." On the same night the video was uploaded, hashtag UFO attack Turkey trended on Twitterverse. The Event Chronicle reported that while the hashtag was trending, it was censored to some degree by Twitter and even Facebook and YouTube. Daily Star reported that there were four or five fleets of lights spotted clustering together in various parts of the country. As per Inquisitor, the mysterious objects were very similar in appearance to the famous Phoenix Lights incident back in 1997. There were also a number of similar UFO sightings in Denver and Texas. Some skeptics said that the aircrafts could have been owned by the U.S., who is working on a secret mission. Meanwhile, just recently, Malcolm Robinson, the founder of Strange Phenomena Investigations, which carries out UFO and paranormal research, has revealed that government is not telling everything they know about aliens. As he claimed, they are not even telling half the truth. Are we really being invaded by aliens? While there is no guarantee if alien invasion... Who wrote this, because they're missing words and it's freaking me out. All right. While there is no guarantee If the alien, if the alien invasion will dawn upon us, experts have already weighed in with such possibility. Astronomers at the Search for SETI in California said extraterrestrials would not just would not be just how we imagined them to be. No flesh, no bones. But super intelligent machines who are equipped with innovative technology that the Earth has never heard of. Like the new PlayStation that will be out next year. Well, we've heard of that technology. Never mind. It's coming out next year. What am I talking about? I don't know.
I can neither confirm nor deny any details of the new PlayStation coming out next year.
Exactly. So Turkey was probed at the end of last month. It's very fitting. That's how you know it's done. You got to probe the turkey.
It's well stuffed.
Well, well stuffed, and you're not going to get salmonella from it.
No.
If you have thoughts, feelings, or a strong opinion on the story that we just talked about, email aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com, or call our voicemail number. Area code 805-328-3966, 805-328-3966. Thank you for your feedback.
Please subscribe to this Galactic Network podcast by going gncast.com/subscribe. Or search iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere podcasts are offered.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
So, I think we're on to our sightings.
What?
What? What sightings do we have?
I have a sighting that dates back to March 1976. To me, it seems a little familiar, but not really. Maybe I've just been looking at a lot of sightings lately. And let me tell you, there's a lot to sift through because
yes,
you end up with a lot of crap sightings, sightings in quotes, like it probed my bum.
That's literally one that was.
Yeah, it was like it touched me sexually and probed my bum. So yeah, there was a lot of that.
Hashtag alien butt stuff. That's for you, Phil Banker.
Yeah. All right. So March 1976 in Decatur, Illinois. Brief summary. A white kite-shaped object that was aloft but stationary changed to elliptical shape, then to disc-shaped. Then it started moving and flew a peculiar course, like a W, reversed itself instantly to retrace the course, reversed back again to refly that same course, then continued up to a 45-degree angle, and it instantly vanished. I thought that was kind of cool. So this takes place apparently in the daytime, in the afternoon, in a suburban commercial area.
Hmm.
Yep. The size of the object was about the size of the planet Venus in the sky. The size of planet in the sky. Venus.
I enjoy, he spells it right the first time. And the second time, it's V-E-N-Y-S, as opposed to the V-E-N-U-S.
But it was...
In their defense, on the keyboard, the Y and the U are right next to each other. He might have fat-fingered it, or she might have fat-fingered it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was in the wrong part of the sky. It was about a half a mile away, and like it said, kite-shaped, and then it changed shape, so... the object was maybe 15 or 22 degrees above the horizon when first spotted. Its initial location was north-northeast of the place where I stood. It was also north-northeast of the town. It was far enough away that I couldn't tell for sure how big it was or how far away. It could have been a mile away and the size of a Cessna, flying fast as a prop plane. It could have been a number of miles away, though, in which case it might be awfully big and awfully fast. The UFO was silent. Nothing came out of it. Nothing went into it. It was opaque. there wasn't a cloud in the sky. The first motion was downward to its left at a 45-degree angle. When it changed direction in the flying the W-shaped course, it made a very tight turn, almost angular. I like to watch aircraft, and I like unusual ones. This performance appeared impossible to me, but there it was. In flying this pattern, the object described a big letter W with the slightly blunted points, flying mainly left to right, that is, east to west. It instantaneously reversed directions with no speed change. It reflew the course in reverse, went to east, that is, left to right. It changed direction instantaneously again, and flew the course in its original direction. It certainly did a good job of retracing its, quote, steps exactly. When it had finished redrawing the big W in the sky, not with the contrail, just with its movement, it kept on going up for a bit at a 45-degree angle, then it disappeared instantly. Not instantaneously. Its final location was north-northwest of my point of view and north-northwest of this of town. While I watched this action, I was so literally dumbstruck. I couldn't talk to anyone, though I could check my watch and note the time. There were various people coming and going because I was at a strip mall. Nobody seemed to look and see why I was standing still and looking up for 4 minutes. I wonder what they thought. After I came away, I was extremely agitated and mentally asking myself, what was it? What was it? And wishing it would come back. I had trouble generally talking to people for several hours. It was even more difficult to initiate discussion of having seen an apparent UFO, and I had to go to work pretty soon after that. So the witness's background, visual artist slash educator who has worked as a graphic designer at the time of the sighting, in fact. They have a university degree. They've studied in the U.S. and Australia, went to China, including Tibet, for artistic purposes. Serious Taiji player. Other comments? Over the years, I've told this story periodically, whenever I've felt like it. Only two people have ever openly challenged the truth of the story to my face. Sometimes I ask friends if they've ever seen a UFO. Once in a while, somebody says yes and describes the sighting. An elderly artist couple living in the same general area saw a UFO near the same 5-year period, but it was much closer, a close encounter perhaps, much smaller and red. So, have they reported the sighting? Yes. To who? Just to personal friends slash UFO hobbyists over the years. Filled out forms like this on some 21st century websites, and they left it at that. The name is Lita, and they're still in the Illinois area, and they're 53. So, yeah, it was a shape-shifting, W-flying, spontaneously disappearing UFO.
Seems legit.
That would have been trippy to see, I'm not gonna lie. And I probably would have given the person randomly standing there looking at the sky a weird look and then turned to see what they were looking at. Like, huh, what? Is there anything over there that you need to look at? What's going on, man?
If you would like to chat with the hosts or other listeners of this Galactic Network podcast 24 hours a day, go to gncast.com/signup. We'll add you to our Slack team, so you'll have the ability to interact with us in real time. Again, go to gncast.com/signup.
It's time for
peaks and warnings.
I watched something that I hadn't really thought I would ever watch, but I had time to kill for two separate lunch breaks. Transformers: Age of Extinction.
Ooh.
Yes. Now, this... some interesting folks appeared in this one. This is the Mark Wahlberg. He was the lead character. One actor that appeared in this was Stanley Tucci, which I love Stanley Tucci. He is a great actor. Kelsey Grammer was in this. TJ Miller was in this. And... spoiler alert, I'm going to give you a second or two to to pause here or to move past this, but T.J. Miller dies horribly within, like, at the end of the first act.
There you go.
It's awful. It's so awful, and you really kind of like the T.J. Miller character of Lucas, but his death was just, wow, what a kick in the crotch. A couple of holes that I felt were in it. This is after Age of Extinction happens after the Battle of Chicago, which is a huge Decepticon Autobot fight that destroyed a lot of Chicago. So the government is very concerned about aliens, and that's kind of why this movie sort of resonates right now. This movie was out in 2014, but it really, really resonated with the current situation that we find ourselves in today. And at some point, and I didn't see the previous Transformers movie that would have, I think this is the fourth movie. I didn't see the third Transformers film, so I don't know exactly what happened, but Mark Wahlberg is a robotics, well, his character, Cade Yeager, is a robotics slash inventor kind of guy. He's a brilliant inventor who's semi-successful in the body of a jock. And this is the weirdest thing. He and T.J. Miller go to an old movie theater, a movie theater that hasn't been in use for a while. And there is a semi-truck. Not the trend, you know, no trailer, just the truck, the cab, is in the theater. Now, I didn't quite figure out how it got inside. I didn't see massive damage to it, to the building, but there it is. But there's huge bullet holes and a very large gaping hole in the grill of the truck. And Mark Wahlberg's character, Cade Yeager, tows it back home and proceeds to tinker with it and figures out that it is not a truck at all. Now, the current, and I mentioned that the government was not happy with aliens. So as of this point in time, they are actively looking for Decepticons. But we come to find out that Kelsey Grammer's character is doing more than that, and he's hunting all robotic aliens.
Oh.
Autobots included. So, I'm not going to give away what the ultimate goal of this is, but I will say that to a person who watched... admittedly, I did not have cable when I was a kid. I lived out in the country, so I didn't get to see the Transformers when they were popular in the 80s. But, you know, I did go to see Transformers the movie in the theater because you've got the touch. And I love that soundtrack. I think I've mentioned that in a previous episode. There is a certain way that a Transformer should transform, and there is a certain sound that it should make. And yeah, I probably sound like a purist, but they do something a little weird with this, and it is really the major plot of the whole thing, which I'm not going to give away. But if you do take the time to watch Transformers Age of Extinction on Hulu, you can better understand what I'm talking about. Now, on our scale of 1 to 5 flying saucers, I'm going to give it a 2.5. As we've come to understand with the current climate of movies and trying to guarantee that something's going to be a blockbuster, a movie really has to do well in China or, you know, overseas in general. But it seems like they partnered with the Chinese. And there's a point where Stanley Tucci is, like, kind of hiding out. And he reaches into a refrigerator and pulls out a drink. And he's drinking something that is obviously in a language that is not English.
Right.
And it really, it looked like Chinese product placement. There's little bits of that in the film. So it's really interesting to, and they had a couple of Chinese stars in the film as well that do show up. Stanley Tucci's character, Joshua Joyce, who's kind of like a nasty Steve Jobs. That's the best way to describe him. What is her name? Bingbing Li? Yeah, that's her name. Bingbing Li. And you find out that there's a little bit more to her character, Sue. And it's really, really kind of interesting. So anyways, that's Transformers Age of Extinction, 2.5 Flying Saucers on the Hulus.
Cool. I've not seen it. So I saw the first one. I think I saw the second one.
Yeah, I saw the second one.
And then I haven't really watched any others. Mm-mm. For sure saw the first one, though. The second one I may have blocked from memory. I don't know.
We have the first one here on Blu-ray.
Sweet. I actually like the first one.
Yeah, I enjoyed it quite a bit.
I thought it was a fun movie. So, and I did grow up watching Transformers as a kid in the 80s. So,
boom.
There you go. All right. So my pick is a documentary. I don't usually do a whole lot of documentaries, at least not recently. But it's called Out of the Blue, The Definitive Investigation of the UFO Phenomenon. This documentary on the UFO phenomenon aims to show that some UFOs may be extraterrestrial and that secrecy and ridicule are regularly employed to keep the truth about UFOs hidden. Dun, dun, dun! And that's essentially the summary. I did enjoy this documentary. I thought they did a really good job of presenting multiple sightings. The documentary itself was about an hour, 45 minutes, almost 2 hours, but not quite. And it kind of bounces back and forth between timelines, so you're not progressing through the years. It'll maybe talk about a sighting from the late 80s and then go back to the 50s and then come back to the 90s and then go back to the 60s. And so there's a lot of bouncing around, and there's a lot of familiar sightings that we've talked about on the show. Roswell, Rendlesham Forest, and they had interviews with some of the eyewitnesses, some of the experts, some of the people that were in the military that were reported to about the sightings and whatnot. And no, I just thought they did a really good job of presenting the information without going out and saying, was this extraterrestrial life? Is this a government conspiracy and cover up? Are there aliens running the government? Should I get my tinfoil hat? It wasn't like that at all, and I really enjoyed that. So if you have a couple hours to kill, I would highly recommend checking out Out of the Blue, The Definitive Investigation of the UFO Phenomenon. I know it's available for streaming on Amazon. I don't know if it's available on Netflix or Hulu. But yeah, I believe it aired back in 2002, 2003. They do use some visual recreations, visual effects that aren't horrible for 2002, 2003. Little cheesy, but it does a good job. They don't try to make it out to be more than something that it's not. So if someone says they saw a glowing light going through the woods, that's what you see in the recreation. It's not, you know, any weird sound effects like woo. So yeah. So yeah, I highly recommend it. Give it a watch. Like right now, after the show.
Not right now.
Okay, fine.
Wait just a little bit.
So yeah, those are our picks. I had Out of the Blue, The Definitive Investigation of the UFO Phenomenon. And Brad had Transformers, Age of Extinction.
Hello, I'm Gregor Sprague, and this is the Else Nerds. Now, what are the Else Nerds? Well, it's myself and Corey Scott, along with our producers, Beatmaster and Evan Rockde, as we talk about everything that is on our nerdy little heart, whether it be comic books, movies, TV shows, video games, cell phones, the moments that we're walking down the street and a person says hi. It doesn't matter. We talk about everything, and you can find it at elsenerds.com.
I think that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion, a Galactic Network podcast. We'd like to thank Retvard von Dernberg, a composer from Germany, for providing our new closing music called Be Water. Learn more about him and his music at thecaravel.net. Final thoughts?
Now I think maybe I should go back and watch Transformers 3.
Maybe.
Maybe. Fair enough.
All right. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye.
Good night, London.
This has been a Galactic Network podcast. For more, go to gncast.com. That's GNCASTS.com.